Welcome to Let's Open God's Word, a weekly preview of Sunday's sermon at Grace Baptist Church in Grand Bay, Alabama. I'm Paul Meredith, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, and I'm glad you're listening today. We're in the 8th chapter of Acts on Sunday, and this is a chapter in Acts where the gospel begins to spread to the surrounding region outside of Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, so it's a transitional chapter in the book of Acts. And the reason the gospel began to spread was because a great persecution arose against the followers of Christ in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the region. There was a young man named Saul, who we would later come to know as the Apostle Paul, who was in charge of this persecution. He was one of the ringleaders of it, and Scripture tells us he was going from house to house and arresting men and women and throwing them into prison. Can you imagine what that would be like to have someone come to your home and drag you out of your home for what you believe and to throw you into prison because of it? Can you imagine what an unsettling thing that would be? And then if they didn't arrest you, but it was your neighbors or people that you knew in the church that this was happening to, and you were left with no other choice but to flee your home and to scatter, as the scripture uses that word, scatter to other regions for your own safety, to become a refugee. But that is what was happening to members of the church in Jerusalem. They were scattered. And in chapter 8, verse 4, it tells us, though, that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And by that, it's meant the word of God. They were preaching what they knew about Jesus Christ as it was revealed to them in the Old Testament. And they had had a lot of training. The training came originally to the apostles from Jesus Christ, and then from those apostles down to other members of the church. And so they understood that their Bible was about Jesus Christ. And one of the ones who was displaced and became a religious refugee was a man named Philip. Now, this is not the apostle Philip, but it was one of the men who were chosen, one of those seven men who were chosen to be servants in the church in Jerusalem. And we read about that in chapter 6, verse 5. It was that Philip. And we're going to see in this chapter that God greatly used Philip to be an evangelist of the gospel. Later in the book of Acts, in chapter 21, verse 8, he's referred to as Philip the evangelist. He was not an apostle, he was not a pastor, but he faithfully proclaimed the truth about Jesus Christ, and God gave him fruit for his labor. And we know from other scripture that it's the responsibility of every believer to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And Philip certainly was one who took that seriously, took it to heart. And even though he was going through such a traumatic time in his life, the main focus of his life remained on the gospel, and it remained on being a witness for Christ and for preaching the word about Christ. And we'll see in this chapter that Philip encounters two men, one who makes a false profession of faith and one who is genuinely converted to Christ. Now, tomorrow we'll see the one who believed. The scripture does use that word when it talks about him. He believed, but it's a false profession of faith. It wasn't saving faith that he had. And his name was Simon. He's a fascinating character in the Bible, this Simon. He was a magician and a sorcerer there in Samaria. He promoted himself as Simon the Great or Simon the Magnificent. He kind of billed himself in that way. He was part showman, but he was also part religious deceiver. And when Philip came into Samaria preaching the gospel, the scripture says this Simon believed what Philip was preaching, and he was baptized. But as we study the rest of the account, we see very clearly that his belief was only an intellectual belief. He believed the facts of the gospel were true, but he did not trust in Christ's death on the cross at a heart level to save him. Did you know there are a lot of people in the world who are like Simon? They give intellectual assent to the facts of the gospel. They attach themselves to the church even, and they even go through the rituals of the church. But there is no conversion. There's no transformation at the heart level that results in genuine salvation. Now, you might ask, how is this possible? Well, the Bible does present it as possible. In the second chapter of John, Jesus encountered people that the Bible says believed in him. But it says that he did not commit himself to them because he knew their hearts. He knew what was in their hearts. They believed in him because they'd seen miracles. They'd seen, maybe believed some of the things that he was teaching and preaching. But their trust was not in him for the forgiveness of their sins and for salvation. Now, tomorrow in the message, I'm going to give an illustration that I think will help clarify how it's possible to believe in something at an intellectual level, but it not be the kind of belief, the kind of trust and faith that results in salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, there must be this heart element in salvation. It's not enough just to give intellectual assent. It's not enough just to believe in your mind the facts of the gospel. There must be the heart level where you embrace Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and where you put your full faith and trust in him to forgive your sins and to change you and to make you into one of his disciples. There must be that heart element. And so I would ask you today, listening to this podcast, what about you? Have you trusted Christ at a heart level that has resulted in transformation in your life? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're going to look at this man Simon in the message tomorrow, and I'm going to call the message, I'm going to give it this title, Philip the Evangelist, and this will be part one. We'll have part two next Sunday, which will be Easter Sunday. But Philip the Evangelist, as he encounters this very interesting man, Simon. Well, I want to invite you to be at Faith Baptist Church tomorrow for our worship service. Even if you're not a member, we hope you'll come and visit with us. Our folks would love to see you there. I would love to see you there. And so consider this your invitation to join us. If you need more information about our church, I want to refer you to our website, which is gracegrandbay.com. Gracegrandbay.com. Well, thank you for listening today. I want to remind you that you can share the link to this podcast with others and invite them to listen and then meet you at church tomorrow, and I hope you'll do that. So until we gather tomorrow, let's pray for the service. Let's pray that God's Spirit will be poured out on the worship service, that our worship will be pleasing to Him, that the preaching would be pleasing to Him, and when it's time for that preaching, let's open God's Word. We shall.